This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The CME Group physical trading floor closed Friday due to the coronavirus. Much of modern commodity trading today is done electronically. Trade on the physical floor ended at the close of Friday's trading session, and all trading will now be taking place on the GME Globex. CME Group says the action is a precaution to reduce large gatherings that can contribute to the spread of coronavirus in line with the advice of medical professionals. No coronavirus cases have been reported on the trading floor or in the Chicago Board of Trade building. The reopening of the trading floor will be reevaluated as more medical guidance on the coronavirus becomes available. The company's headquarters will remain open. Meanwhile, following many other events, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission postponed this year's Agricultural Commodity Futures Conference that was scheduled for April 1st and 2nd in Overland Park, Kansas. And the CFTC will relocate its open meeting that was scheduled for March 31st at the Federal Reserve Bank in Kansas City to the CFTC headquarters in Washington, D.C. And the Department of Agriculture and other federal agencies are making preparations to deal with further spread of coronavirus as well, including allowing hundreds of thousands of staffers to telework. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, like many other agency heads, is being urged by the Office of Personnel Management to immediately review telework policies.
We got over 100,000 people scattered around the country. We had some requests for teleworking in Seattle, which we granted. We had some in a Forest Service. It was 50 miles away with no outbreak, and we said, just sit back and relax a little bit. But we've issued guidance to our employees on the internal side about just, first of all the basic kind of things of what to do.
Some agencies, including the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Interior Department, and NASA, have either closed some offices or gone to telework, as some workers have tested positive for coronavirus. Secretary Perdue says the USDA is refreshing its pandemic plan.
We are testing our systems over telecommuting to see the stress testing them to see if they are up to speed. Our IT person feels that they are, but we want to check those out to make sure if we have to utilize those. That's internally operation because we, as you all know, we got a lot of people depend on USDA on a daily basis, from farmers and ranchers to consumers out here, and we have to carry on the work.
The USDA is not prepared for the event of a large absence, as some employees, by the nature of their work, cannot work from home. The main question then becomes, how will the USDA protect them from getting the virus? The local USDA Service Center is being proactive about the situation, which the USDA Service Center for Montgomery County is in Hillsborough. From a quote from their Facebook page, due to an abundance of caution regarding the COVID-19 outbreak, access to the USDA Service Center in Hillsborough, which houses the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District, will be restricted. If you have business with the SWCD, which includes fish orders, cost share bills, seed orders and payments, or general questions regarding your farm, we recommend you contact us by telephone at 532-3361 extension 3 or by email to Melissa at melissa.cobble@il.nacdnet, Patricia at patriciafuchs@il.nacdnet, or Christine at christine.goldstein@usda.gov. They apologize for any inconvenience, but they feel these moves protect the customers and staff alike with the outbreak of coronavirus. And that is for the USDA Service Center in Hillsborough. They will be restricting access to face-to-face discussions at their office. And while coronavirus is taking the lion's share of news lately, there is still business in Washington that is being addressed on Capitol Hill. One of those items to be addressed is the deterioration of the nation's infrastructure. Representative Rodney Davis of Taylorville plays a big role when it comes to funding for infrastructure, and he explains.
Well, what's really important for Illinois agriculture is to have the infrastructure improvements needed to get our products from the field to the global marketplace. That's why I'm really hoping we get a bipartisan highway reauthorization for our highways and our transit districts. It's a huge deal for our farmers and the entire ag sector to have good roads and to have good transportation networks. That's one of our priorities that we ought to get done in a bipartisan way. We also want to make sure that families can continue to thrive survive and keep the family farm operational. We want to help students. You know, a lot of farm families will send their kids off to college and hope they come back and run the operation. We want to help create a voluntary private sector approach to paying down student debt. Employers ought to be able to offer student loan repayment programs and be incentivized to do so. We're doing that. That bill is almost going to be forced to call to the floor because we have 267 co-sponsors right now. Those are two major issues, along with being able to address continued funding for ag research and new and innovative approaches that have allowed our farmers, even in a rough, very wet year last year, were able to get substantial yields because America invested in research years ago, and the right type of seed was used for that type of soil and that type of weather condition, and we saw yields that many of our farmers thought they would never get to last year. We have to continue that precious and vital research.
Representative Davis also explains the current investments being made on the Illinois and Mississippi River lock and dam system.
We haven't had investment in our Illinois and Mississippi River locks and dams for 20 years. The Obama administration completely left them out. The Trump administration is actually investing in improving our locks and dams. That matters. And as soon as we've made one investment, we're continuing to work to ensure that as we go down the Mississippi, that those locks and dams that touch Illinois and Missouri are the ones that we have to continue to upgrade ourselves to. Once you make an investment, it's easier to make another one, and I'm certainly glad Trump administration has done that. Now we've got to hold the Corps accountable to make sure they get the project done on time.
Again, that was 13th District Representative of Illinois, Rodney Davis of Taylorville. And continuing with the topic of the lock and dam system, Don Schaefer of the Midwest Truckers Association explains that when the river shuts down for these repairs to the locks, truck traffic will increase when it comes to transporting old crop grain downriver and ag inputs such as dry fertilizer upriver.
Yeah, and people understand the fact is that Army Corps of Engineers is doing major construction work, repair work, rebuilding the locks and dam on the Illinois River system. Originally, it was going to be every lock and dam from the mouth of the river all the way up to the Brandon Road lock and dam in Joliet. As of right now, the Brandon Road lock will not be worked on. There'll be some minimum work done up, but not major work. But the fact is that every lock and dam all the way down river is going to be worked on, and we're talking starting probably after the threat of spring floods, they're going to start this work. So, it means that traffic's going to stop on the river. That means the barges that go upriver take ag inputs, take everything from fertilizer to fuel to gravel, concrete, specialized sands, all these things that go upriver are being done right now to get those done before this early summer when they close the locks down. Because then grain that's usually flowing downriver is going to cease. The grain dealers are moving as much as they can right now. Prices should not help it at all, so there's a lot of forced movement that they really don't want to do. You're going to see the summer dramatic increase of traffic from trucks that's going to be hauling grain, be going to rail terminals. We'll be hauling it further, depending on where they want to go, over to the Mississippi. And so it means there's going to be a lot of truck traffic. Think of some roads in western Illinois, southern Illinois, going to see a dramatic increase in truck traffic because of the fact that there's going to be an endless stream of hoppers that are going to be moving that grain. On the other side of the coin here, we foresee not a crisis, but we're going to see a real crush of demand for trucks, because on top of that, you have all this grain that has to move. You're also going to see a dramatic increase in construction because of the state's infrastructure bill that passed and the construction plan that's included with it. It's just starting to gear up. But everyone says the demand for trucks is just going to be through the roof. We talk to members all the time. They said they're getting phone calls from people looking for trucks for this summer, and the guys are telling them, we're out. We're already committed to so-and-so, such-and-such, and we're books out. So it means it's going to be an interesting summer. It's a good summer for the trucking industry and for truck operators because there's heavy demand for their equipment. But then it also means then we're going to see crunch time for the contractors and for the grain dealers.
Don also explains that with the new state infrastructure bill in effect as well, trucks are going to be needed for road repair projects as well.
Well, they're bidding for their services right now. They're saying, You know, how much is this truck worth an hour? How much is a truck worth a day? Obviously, the ag haulers, you know, their first alliance always is to the grain dealers. That's fine, but there's always, they need a, there's a surplus this year. And that's the real issue. The bottom line is you know, who's going to pay more for the truck? And I think this summer we're going to see full employment in the industry and full utilization of the equipment. And if the weather's good, it's going to be busy. It's going to be busy everywhere. I mean, you know, we're seeing the major rebuild of I-255 around down the Metro East area. That started a month ago. Got an early start on it because it's a major project that, you know, entails shutting down 255. Shutting down the north portion right now, and then once they get that done, then they're going to shut down the south portion, south of I-70. And that means you've got to have a lot of equipment there and a lot of workers to get a concentrated amount of construction done in a short period of time. So far, it's raining yesterday, but, I mean, you know, they had a couple weeks here so far of absolutely perfect weather for construction. And I know they've been real happy with that because it has moved that project right along.
Again, that was Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. And finally, in other news here on your Monday morning, farmers who have not yet completed their 2019 crop year elections for enrollment in the AgRisk Coverage and Price Loss Coverage Program must schedule an appointment to do so with their local USDA Farm Service Agency by today. FSA Administrator Richard Fordyce says, quote, if you've not completed your elections or enrollment, the clock is ticking and your program eligibility is at stake. So please call FSA today and request an appointment. To date, more than 1.4 million contracts have been signed for the 2019 crop year. That represents 89% of expected enrollment. Producers who do not contact FSA for an appointment by the close of business time today will not be enrolled in ARC or PLC for the 2019 crop year and will be ineligible to receive payments should one trigger for an eligible crop. ARC and PLC provide income support to farmers from substantial drops in crop prices or revenues and are vital economic safety nets for most American farms. And with the current situation with the coronavirus, it is very important for ARC and PLC to be made for this coming crop year as well. And to explain those aforementioned payment trigger levels is the Vice President of Crop Insurance for Farm Credit Illinois in Jerseyville, Dane Staton.
Just a quick refresher, I guess, on the ARC and PLC is the ARC is an agriculture risk coverage that actually takes into consider price and yield on a countywide basis, where the PLC is a price loss coverage, and it only is looking at just a strict price. So on the PLC side of the decision, they have reference prices. On corn, it would be $3.70, and on beans, it's $8.40. And more or less, if the price from a marketing year average, which is September through the end of August, they average each of the commodity price, and at the end of this pricing period, which would be the end of August, they'll come out with a marketing year average. If those marketing year averages drop below the reference price, again, corn $3.70, beans $8.40, then there will be a payment reflected from that loss. So that's kind of a really brief overview of the PLC. If you remember back, I think a majority of the farmers in 2014 actually elected ARC County. That ARC County is a revenue-based decision, and it is for each county and where the that is a farm location. So if your farm is located in Macoupin County, it would be a county for, you know, you'd be using the Macoupin County yield data. And more or less what that is, that's a five-year average of the not only the market year price, but the county yield, and then it's 86% of that. So it's an Olympic average of those two. So there's a benchmark revenue that a county has, and then they calculate up the actual county yields and the actual marketing year for that for those years. And if it's lower than the benchmark, then there's a indemnity according to that. So again, very brief overview of the two products that you have to decide on. And again, it's from a 2019 election, so we're actually electing for the crop that we had just harvested.
Dane also notes that election for the 2020 crop that's about to be planted will be taking place later this summer. So remember, today is your last chance to get those things done with the FSA office, but remember, the FSA office is only taking phone calls at this time due to the coronavirus outbreak. So please do not expect to show up in person. You will more than likely be turned away. And in community bulletin board news, I'd almost take a guess that anything and everything has either been canceled or postponed to a future date. So if you have an event coming up, I would contact anyone with information on said event to see if it is still going on or has been canceled. And that will wrap it up for this Monday morning edition of the Farm Show. Reporting on this March 16th, this is Gabe Osborne for WSMI Ag News.